in? Mrs. Rogers, could you tell me where you grew up and a little bit about the community in which you grew up?
Well, I was born in Halifax County, mm-hmm. and in a little community called the Eden Church Community. Mm-hmm. And we lived in the rural. Mm-hmm. We grew up on a farm. And the community was thickly populated, I would say, mostly relatives. And it was a land that my grandfather had owned, and most of it where we live, land where my grandfather owned. And we attended it, and we had the opportunity to go to the local school, which was approximately a mile from our, maybe a mile and a half from our home. And did you want to know anything about the, you just want to know about the community?
What were you thinking of telling me about?
Well, we didn't have a church per se.
Okay.
But we used the school for everything,
mm-hmm.
our entertainment, and for church, Sunday school, and all religious programs. And of course, we all were involved in this sort of thing. And we could always depend on the neighbors. Everybody knew everybody.
Right.
And it was a quite close-knit community. It seems like everybody was involved and everybody was concerned about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we didn't have a lot, but we did have our own gardens, and we were able to survive by having good food to eat. And the people then were quite independent. They were very industrious, I would say. And I guess maybe that's about it.
Who did you grow up with in your home when you were growing up?
We had seven children.
Mm-hmm.
There were four boys and three girls. The girls were younger than the boys. And my mother died when I was 14. And of course, my father married a year later,
mm-hmm.
but in other words, he always kept us in our home, and the new wife and her family was in their home. I always joke and say, well, they just didn't have any houses in Halifax County that was big enough for the two families, and I guess that was why my daddy kept us separated. But we really had a wonderful time. Of course, you know, we had the usual sibling rivalry that we always have, but we always were able to iron things out. And my father was a remarkable man. He was a Christian. And he always took us to Sunday school. He didn't send us to Sunday school and church. He took us. And we did belong to a church that was approximately 7 miles from the house. And they had church only once a month. And so we really enjoyed making preparation for going to church. And we had to go on a wagon, which was drawn by two mules.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have an automobile. And we would go at we'd start out, I guess, maybe about 9 o'clock, and we'd be about 11:30 before we got there. And we just had church all day.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come home sometime at night, but we didn't have, all you had to do was just have a lantern, you know, there you have a little speck of light, because we didn't have automobiles that were so plentiful as we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as if we enjoyed our lives just like these people who have plenty,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was fun to us. And my mother was a very, very straightforward woman. She didn't do a lot of joking and playing. And she spent most of her time in a rocking chair due to the fact she was ill. She had asthma in its truest form. And but she ruled, I said she ruled with an iron hand. I tell my children that she ruled with an iron hand because she was able to discipline us and didn't even have to get up out of her chair. And she was not cruel either. And there would be times when she said, you come to me, and if you've done something that you had to be reprimanded for, she would do it. And she used her rod of correction. We call the switch the rod of correction. And you dare not run, because if you did, you'd have more coming. And I just think she was just a remarkable woman. She really taught. She didn't have much education, formal education, but she really taught, you know, her, what she believed. And she was a Christian too, and she was rich in Bible knowledge, and she could apply, you know, these principles to our lives. And
now, do you remember anything about your grandparents?
Not a thing. I've never seen a grandparent. And this is the thing that disturbs my children. I have a son that's interested in seeking, you know, information on family tree. And he's just so disturbed because we don't have a lot of pictures of them, you know. Even though he goes to the courthouse and get the information about them. And this is just so fascinating to him. But I have never seen it. I have my oldest brother, which is about 79 years old. He remembers my grandfather. But I don't think any of the other children remember.
Do you know anything about them?
Well, I was told that my grandfather was a very progressive man. He did own quite a bit of property at the time, and there was a family of mans that owned a lot of land out in the Crowell's community. Mm-hmm. And my father worked for this man. He's sort of a caretaker, or overseer, from one farm to the other. He just sort of kept the business going. And my grandmother, I don't believe she worked outside of the home, and but she was a very industrious woman. She taught her children well, you know, about life. But so far as anything that they have done, I don't know, you know, outstanding or anything except with good parents.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, how did he come about owning the land? Was this through Mr. Crowell?
Owning the land. Yeah. Well, I guess they worked hard for it, I guess, and they were able to purchase it, you know. Well, I think that Mr. Mann might have been a fair-minded man and maybe allowed them the opportunity to buy. I guess that's what it was.
Were there many black landowners in the Eden Church community?
Most of them were.
Oh, okay.
Most of them were,
Were there any sharecroppers?
Yes, there were sharecroppers because there was a farm. There's a farm adjoining ours that was owned another family that shared their crops with the people. And as the days went by and the children left home, the land seemed like, you know, sort of got away from some of the landowners if they were not thrifty enough to hold on. And then the depression came and really cleaned this off.
So the black landowners.
Right.
Now these other places where the people were sharecropping, were these for white landowners?
Yes. And then we had one black fella who had a lot of farms, and that had sharecroppers too. Mm-hmm.
You were saying it was a very close knit community. Was your family close with sharecroppers as well as landowners?
Yes, you couldn't tell the difference. You would not know the difference. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, see, when I was growing up, I was born in 1924. Well, I guess maybe we were entering the Depression at that time. Yeah, I guess. Well, I really remember in 1933, I could remember something about it or hearing them discuss it. And a lot of people got into a dilemma at that time and lost everything they had. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who were wise and thrifty, you know, it's just one of those things. Something happened. Mm-hmm.
Did you work on the farm when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
So you did field work?
Yes. Uh-huh. Until I was about 16 or 17, I had the housework to do. You know, these brothers did all the farm work, and I would do the cooking. So I didn't have a chance to work on the farm as much. They never exempted me from picking cotton. I said I got my worst whippings about picking cotton. I did not like to pick cotton. And so I didn't have to work until I was about 15 on the farm. But after that, when the boys left home to go to World War II, then we had to get out and sort of help with the farm. Mm-hmm. And so we did everything except pull corn fodder. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of that?
I've heard people talking about that. When you say we did everything but that, who did the corn fodder?
Well, he had to get fellows to do that, right. Get men to do that.
Okay. You know, so he hired some men to
do
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would they come from around? From nearby, or were they?
Yeah, mostly focused? Nearby. You used to swap that sort of thing, you
okay.
know. And you helped me get mine, and I'll help you get yours. Mm-hmm. We did that on other things too, like tobacco. You help this family down the road, mm-hmm. and you go and help them.
Did families help each other in other ways? Not having to do with the farming?
I'll say yes, because there were times when we did not have adequate food supply. They would even share food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a little girl, before my mother died, if a person became ill in the community, she would think about going to see this person if she didn't care something. You know, they don't do that today, but they did it at that time. In other words, when a person got sick, we felt it was our responsibility to go and do what we could. Mm-hmm.
Were there adults in that community to whom you looked up particularly, some sort of role models for you?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had aunts and... And then there were other people with families, yes, that you really would like to be like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you remember anyone in particular?
Well, I remember one lady by the name of Mrs. Peggy Adams. She had three daughters, and she was just a typical good mother, I thought. She, you know, was help her husband with the farm work, and then yet she had time to take care of the girls too. And I grew up with them,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of knew what was going on in their home. And I would just like to be like she is, you know. And of course. In my profession, there was a nurse that worked in the community. She always supervised our health.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, I certainly would just like to be like she is. And of course, she was an encourager. And you can do it. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I've got to do it because she has that kind of confidence in me, so I must do it. Mm-hmm. And I just got help from everybody. Old people were just so encouraging to right. us. You know, I think they felt sorry for us because our mother had died. Mm-hmm. And my father was a very considerate man, and the boys, my brothers, were considerate too. They always kept us covered, you know. And so if daddy had to be away, they would make sure that they, one or the other, would stay and see that we were all okay. And if they, at any time that they needed to be away, all of them be away at one time, we had this aunt that just was right over the way there. They just pack us up and take us over there. Right. And we would fuss all the way going and fuss all the way coming back because they didn't want to leave home. They didn't want to leave home. Mm-hmm. But I see now, I mean, that I'm grown, I wonder, I just said, well, why can't we stay home by ourselves? We're not afraid. But they wanted us covered, and I see that because I'm foolish like that about my children too. Yeah, so we had some rugged times, and we had some good times right. too.
Yeah. What were some of the times that were harder? Did you have times when you didn't have enough to eat and that kind of thing?
I don't ever remember the time when we didn't have enough to eat. Mm-hmm. You see, because he always had pigs, cattle, chickens.
Right.
We didn't raise turkeys. That was our meat. We always had a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we always preserved food in the summertime for the wintertime. So we never, I can truly say that we have never been hungry.
Mm-hmm. So what made some of these times hard when you went through hard
Well, we didn't have money to go and buy clothes like other people had, you know. And of course, this is one thing they instilled in us, that you don't have to have clothes, you know, to be great. In other words, clothes don't make the man makes the clothes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't go to school as regular as people who had plenty. Well, we had to get the crops out. We had to work. Most of the time, the problem would be in the fall.
Right.
And we had to get the crops out. And this, he wouldn't hire anybody to do that. He said, you go to school 3 days and you work 3 days.
Uh-huh.
We went to school on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay.
We worked Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And Sunday, you go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we just wanted things that we could have done without. Maybe that's what I was saying, was having a hard time. And that's, you know, I wouldn't think that was so hard. Now that I'm grown, and I'm real glad because I think I benefited from it.
Right.
Because it motivated me to always get up and work,
right.
Be independent, and try to get something for yourself and not depend on other people.
As a landowning family, did your parents talk about the independence a lot to you? Or?
Well, yes. Yes.
How so? What would they say?
They always would make it a point to have us get up out of bed. We never could stay in bed like some children could. Now you get up at the same time every day, whether you had anything planned for that day or not. And I think that was one thing that would, you know, stimulate us to get on up and get your work done. And they could not handle you be, you know, dragging along. They wanted you to pep up and get the work done, make it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And she always used this as an, she would say to us, the idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Right.
You know, you need to be doing something. And work won't hurt you. Work has never hurt anybody. And things like that. And work hard, save, and try to have something for yourself. Is that what you meant?
Yeah. I was wondering too, did they talk much about the value of land ownership to you? Or did...
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And because I think maybe I interpreted the way they explained this to us and talked to us about it, that we don't want you to get so overzealous about material things, mm-hmm. because material things are going to fade away.
Right.
But I want you to get good spiritual background. And in this, you will, the other things will be added. Because I have seen people who are just so hungry for material things, or not knowing that material things don't always last, that they will do anything to get ahead or get on top. Wherein my father was really cautious about that. He always let us know that it's all right, you know, to not be rich,
right.
You know.
Did he ever talk about people who were, did he ever talk about the importance of being independent from white people or from the, you know, in the way that sharecroppers were dependent on for credit and that kind of thing? Did he ever talk about that?
I see what you mean. You mean always not to want to work for.
Right.
In other words, be on your own.
Right.
Well, now that he thought that we should do this. I mean, you know, we ought to work in order that we would have to work for the sharecropper.
Okay.
I mean the homeowner, the
right.
farm owner.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for fun when you were a little girl?
What I do for what?
Fun.
Oh. Well, you know, we made our toys. we could make a doll baby.
Right.
And I'm gonna see what I can say. We worked all the time. We didn't have much fun. To tell you the truth, we didn't have much fun. And you're talking about all up to my teenage year. Well, we really didn't have a lot of fun. We read and read books, the books that we could get our hands on. We visited our relatives and a few friends, and we were just allowed a certain length of time to visit with them. You know, if you went over to your cousin's house, and they give you 15 minutes to play.
Oh, really?
And your traveling time was included in that. And we had socials at school. We had 4-H club. I guess that would be included as fun, wouldn't it?
Was it fun?
Yeah, to go to the Panacea Spring to a picnic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they would take us on a truck, you know, and we really didn't have too much fun. There wasn't too much going on in the community because they worked all the time. We went to church, and that was fun to us because we hadn't seen our friends. Well, in the summertime, we wouldn't see them over the summer. But when we got back to school, we used to see them at school every day. Well, I don't know. We didn't go to the movies. See, the movies was a good little way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, sure they thought that dancing was wrong, so we couldn't go nowhere dancing. guess maybe we can, like right now I can't even think.
Well, that's all right. You've given me several things. The 4-H club. What did you do at 4-H club?
Now, this was extension.
Oh,
this
okay.
is extension in your time. We had an agent here, and he would call the farm boys and girls. See, and some boys and girls took agriculture.
At school?
At school,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this man was the community worker. He was the farmers,
mm-hmm.
the adult farmers in the community.
Was this a black agent?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. And he would get the boys and girls together. They had a extension agent that was female, and she would work with the girls. And they taught us cooking, sewing, some of everything. And like fishing and growing vegetables and canning vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And just sewing, keeping housekeeping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have child care included as much as they have now. I don't think they knew very much about it anyway,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At that time.
Now, were these things that your mother had taught you as well?
Like yes.
Sewing and cooking?
Yes, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. This was just an extension of it.
Right.
Because she was, she wasn't able to do it herself, so she had to, we had to do it.
Right.
And then, you know, if we didn't do it, I had an aunt that was, she was a home economics student at Bricks.
Okay.
And she was in the president's home most of the time. You know, they had inviting guests in. She would help with the preparation and serving and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew quite a bit.
Right.
And then she passed it on down to her sisters, and they passed it on to their children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of times if we had to make biscuits, she'd say, you come to me, and I'd go to her and get the information.
Right.
And go back and apply it. But I never did learn to make biscuits.
You said you were doing most of the cooking for the family,
yes,
too?
Yes, uh-huh.
When did you start doing that? How old were you?
I guess about 6 or 7 years old. Yeah, that was tough time, but it didn't seem to be tough. I just thought it was a part of life, you know, something that I said to do. I never got bored with it or tired,
mm-hmm.
tired of it.
Now, were you responsible for all of, were your sisters helping you as well, or were you preparing all the food yourself?
Well, most of the time I was doing it myself. They would take other chores. One would keep the house.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby girl didn't do very much. She, you know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
The girl next to me would take care of the house.
Right.
And I mean, she keeps house, she's scrupulously clean. She's an excellent housekeeper. Well, I didn't get that. And I would do the cooking. And we would do the washing together.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we'd have the washing in the galvanized tub. And we had 3 or 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where we would wash. You know how we used to boil the clothes?
Right.
Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
We did that and rinsed the clothes and hung them on the clothesline. And if they were, we had this very aunt, she would come to see us at that time, the clothes would be on the line, and if they were not as bright as they should be, they had to come down. And we had to do them over again. But that was helpful, you know. I would know better than to put them out there where they were not clean. And then that makes me sensitive to it,
mm-hmm.
now, even now,
mm-hmm.
the dingy clothes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do any work when you were a child to make a little bit of money, a little bit of money you were talking before about?
Seemed like we picked blueberries,
mm-hmm.
for Mr. Sherrod, and I think we got somewhere around 5 cents a quart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did. And there were times when we had landowners that was not in the family and that we did not have to share our work with. They would pay us for handing tobacco.
Okay.
And then I worked for a white family that lived near my house. I would help go and help Mr. Keita's mother. And, you know, do chores around the house.
Right, right, mm-hmm. Right. Well, you said that some of the families, some of the places that you worked for black landowners and they paid you because you didn't have to share work with
mm-hmm.
them. Now, who did you have an agreement to share work with? Who were those farmers?
Well, most of them, they would be relatives. Relatives, you know, like I had a brother that was, he didn't have any children. So he would come and work with my father so that we could come and work with him. And then there was an uncle that we had the same arrangement. And then maybe one or two other families. Mm-hmm. You know, that we felt close to, and you know, you feel obligated to do. Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you also went to work for this white family.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you started to do that?
I might have been about maybe 12, 13, okay. Something like that.
Was that a usual thing for girls to do, to go and work like that?
I think this was just an isolated, thing, you know, because she didn't always give us money. Sometimes she would give us something, maybe a nice garment to wear.
Okay.
Because it wasn't a regular job.
Okay.
It was just if she needed somebody that particular morning, maybe about an hour or so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was not a regular job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good job?
Well, I learned a lot. She taught me very well.
Mm-hmm.
She taught me how to clean, how to iron, and I mean, these are the things that nobody can take from me.
Mm-hmm. So this was the white lady taught you these things?
Yes, uh-huh. I would say in connection with what I had learned at home, what I learned at school, and in the 4-H club.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did all children belong? Were they exposed in this way to these skills? Did most children go to the 4-H club, for example, or participate in these extension activities?
No, it's just like it is today. Just a few. Say the parents were interested.
Right.
You know, some people don't take time to investigate and see what the children can get out of things, you know. But my folks were always wanting the best for us, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Were there places in the community in which you grew up where you weren't allowed to go, or people you weren't allowed to associate with?
Well, there were places that we were not allowed to go, you know, before 1964. We were not able to go into restaurants,
right,
and things like that.
But I was thinking about your parents telling you, you know, don't go to those places. Those are bad places.
Yes, yes, of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
What places were
those? Clubs and joints.
Okay.
And things where they have alcohol and... Well, we were not allowed to dance,
right,
you know, so we couldn't go to the clubs where they danced. We were not allowed to smoke and drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about the size of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sneak out and do any of those things?
Well, no, I was just afraid. I never did when I really, I will say that my sisters and brothers didn't, because I really believe what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So some of your brothers and sisters were a little more mischievous.
Yeah, that's right. And I was frightened to death all the time because, see, I was sort of held responsible for them, you know.
Okay, I
mm-hmm.
see. I see.
Yeah. But now I don't believe they wanted to do anything detrimental or wrong, but they were just wanted a little fun. Since they were so limited, you know,
right,
in fun.
So you had quite a lot of responsibility when you were growing up.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Right. Did you ever resent having to do all those things for your family?
Well, you know, I realize I haven't had very much childhood. No,
right.
You know, no child, no life. Well, what I say, that childhood was kind of cut short.
Right.
Mm-hmm. there were times now, you know, the girl was 3 years old when my mother died. There would be times when I would really like to be out playing or just reading, when I would have to deal with her. And, you know, say, like, you put us to sleep. You think she's asleep and she's not. You think you're going to get a good chance to play. Mm-hmm. But they wake up. She would wake up. Right, right. So really, it was a lot of responsibility, I think, for a child more than 12 or 13 years old.
So you raised your sister then?
Well, I would say that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said before that you didn't like to pick cotton.
I hated it.
And why was that?
It was so painful to me. And you know, you pick it the first time, and you look back another week there, it's just as much out there as it was when you went over it, you know. And I would get an annual whipping. My father would whip me every September because I didn't want to go out there and pick that cotton. And when I went away to school, I wrote back in. I was so homesick. No, we didn't ever go away and stay with anybody. Mm-hmm. You had to stay at home all the time. And I got to school, and I just wanted, just raring to get away, you know. I won't have to pick no cotton. And I was so homesick, I didn't even unpack my clothes. I didn't unpack. So I wrote back and told him I just want to come back home. I felt like I could just pick a lot of cotton. And my father sent me word that he didn't need me. He didn't have any cotton to pick. It's for me to stay there and get my lessons.
Right.
So I finally, I guess that's the only thing that kept me from coming back here, because I did not want to pick that cotton. I sure didn't. And I couldn't pick much either. I picked 180 at one time. And I said I wouldn't do that anymore because it was too strenuous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did he ever hire people to pick cotton?
No, I've never known him to hire anybody.
Okay.
And that was something else. We swapped too. We would share that,
really?
You know.
Uh-huh.
You help me, I help
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. So you would go over to, would you ever go over to sharecroppers' land to help them with their work?
Yes, because we would get money from that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you get it from the landowner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He would say if they had a lot of, some of them had a large amount of tobacco,
mm-hmm.
that would be about the only thing that we would be able to help anybody in with tobacco in the summertime. But in the fall and winter, we were so busy getting ours out on the 3 days that we had. So that, you know, we didn't have time to go help anybody else in the cotton.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. You said that you read as much as you could.
Yeah.
A lot of reading. Was this something that your parents encouraged in you?
Yes, because my father always read.
Okay.
Now, my mother didn't do a lot of reading. I don't know where how she got that information that she got. You know, I guess maybe they shared it. He would share it with her, I guess. And we would just read anything. We didn't have anything much but the Progressive Farmer.
Okay.
That was a newspaper that would
right.
come every month.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, school books.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we always listened to the radio. And we just read everything we got our hands on, because this aunt, you know, she had a lot of books, and I mean a lot of different kind of books, because she was married to a professor, and he had a library, you know,
uh-huh.
and we were curious to read their works.
Now, did they live close by, your aunts and uncle?
Well, approximately, I'd say a mile apart. Some of them were closer, but the farthest one away would be about, and the one over at Daniel's Chapel, that was an aunt too. She was about, that's about 7 miles from here. That's where our church was. Mm-hmm.
Did your parents get any black newspapers?
Yes, we did.
Which one was that?
It was the Journal and Guide. It
okay.
was from Norfolk. It was
right.
a paper from Norfolk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we took that local paper, which was called The Progress.
Uh-huh.
And they had a newspaper. Oh, yeah, News and Observer.
Right.
Yeah, we've always had News and Observer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where would people gather in the community to find out about local news?
At the school, at the PTA, and the church. Well, no, they didn't give out as much news at the church as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Church was strictly for religion.
Oh.
Mm.
So at school they would have some announcements about what happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they. I remember when I was growing up. I don't remember announcements being made in church. I don't. I really don't. It's just here since I've been, 18 and older. I don't remember, but I know we would hear about news at church, and we would gather in homes sometime and sing and. And pray, and even when they were going to have a fight over the radio, these people would come to the house and listen because everybody didn't have radio.
So Joe Lewis?
We happened to have one, and they would come, and we would just like for the fight to come. I wasn't interested in the fights,
uh-huh.
but I just was interested in the people who would come to visit us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any famous black people that were sort of your heroes or your idols or people that you really admired?
Do you mean famous, nationally or?
Maybe nationally. Someone like Marian Anderson or,
yes, uh-huh.
or Joe Lewis.
Yeah, that's right. Joe Lewis was, raved about Joe Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Marian Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Hawkins Brown, Mary McLeod Bethune, T.S.N. Borden, Mordecai Johnson, Benjamin Hayes, Benjamin Mays. These are people that I have actually, seen and.
Did you see these people when you were growing up, when you were living around?
Well, after I left home, I just made it a point, if they came to the area where I was at that time, I'd make it a point to go to see them now. Like when I was at North Carolina Central, we had Benny Mays and Mordecai Johnson and Charlotte Hawkins Brown and all of them to come to speak, maybe at Vesper. And I got a chance to see them then. And so there were just a lot of black folks that I
did. Right. Now, did you know about these famous people when you were growing up as well, when you were living on the farm?
Yeah, some of them we did. Which I can think of because I did read, Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think maybe that was probably what stimulated us to want to get out of the, and do something too.
Yeah. Did any of your brothers and sisters continue farm when they grew up?
Yes, my oldest brother did.
Right. But none of the others?
None of the others did.
Was that all right with your parents? Did they want you to leave the farm, do you think?
No, it looks like, I think maybe whatever you think that you can do best,
right.
You go and do that. Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to leave the country, did you?
Yes, I did.
That's all right.
I would love to go back to it now, but I could, under, good
right.
circumstances.
And why did you want to leave?
Well, we thought that it was too hard for... so little. Do you understand? Mm-hmm.
So this would be something that you'd talk about? Would you talk about your dreams of leaving?
Yes, uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Who was the first person in your family to leave the farm? to go away.
Leaves on. My second oldest brother.
Right.
And he went to Newport News, Virginia, and worked in the shipyard. But he returned. He didn't stay. I guess maybe he stayed five, six years, something like that. And then he came back. But he did not continue in farming. He did carpenter work, and he was an excellent carpenter.
How did he come about being a carpenter?
Well, we had an uncle that was a carpenter, and I think they all admired him, and they had the opportunity to help him. And I can imagine he taught them a lot of things.
Where did this uncle live?
He lived just across the branch. Now, he was in this little compound too.
And who did he work for? Did he work for white people as well as black people?
Yes, sometimes. Right. Sometimes. We come all the way down here, customers even in the city of Enfield.
And then who left after that, after him?
My next oldest brother left.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Baltimore, Maryland to get a job. And he got a job with Bethlehem Steel.